It's actually very hard to imagine it today because around me crops are flourishing, everything is green. But this is the very place, the plains on the outskirts of Coram, where 30 years ago this week we saw the face of the famine that became one of the biggest disasters of modern times. Then there was barely a blade of grass to be seen here. It was a dust bowl, a parched plain. And along this very gravel road, thousands, tens of thousands of people had trekked in from the hills behind me, where they had tried to survive 2-3 consecutive harvests that had failed. They had sold everything that they had, and they had come here to try and seek help. The most vulnerable among them, the weakest, the elderly and the children mostly, often died along the way.
Dawn, and as the sun breaks through the piercing chill of night on the plain outside Coram, it lights up a biblical famine.
It's too late to save the lives of many of the people around me here in a corrugated iron shelter on the outskirts of Mekelle. Many of the children and the adults in here are so sick and weakened by hunger that they can barely raise themselves from a bed of cardboard on the concrete floor.
The famine had had a long build-up during ever-deepening drought, and with its epicentre in a region caught up in the long-running conflict between the Marxist regime of Mengistu Haile Mariam and Tigrayan rebels. The regime's attempts to conceal the severity of the famine, and largely closing off access for journalists to the worst affected region, meant that the shock and galvanising effect of its exposure in October 1984 was all the greater.
The BBC news broke as I came home from work and taking off my jacket, getting ready for dinner, turned on to the TV, and the first thing was Tigray and Wallo, and so much for the dinner. We forgot completely. My wife was crying, I was crying.
Tesfatsion Dalalu is an Ethiopian who was in New Zealand working with the international charity World Vision. He returned to help lead his agency in what quickly became an unprecedented relief operation. Even today, he is haunted by the memories.
All the eyes of the mothers were on you, moving with wherever you are going, and the children, infants, open their mouth and the gasping, and from that you have to make a choice.
Laid out on plastic sheeting in this market in the Antsokia Valley are piles of the staple crop, teff. Today they're produced in sufficient quantities by the farmers in this area where World Vision works that they sell it here and supply it to other parts of Ethiopia as well as consume it themselves. There's better irrigation, more road access, healthcare and schools.
When I came 30 years ago, 15 to 20 people were dying every day here. This became known as the Valley of Death. Today, it seems, Antsokia is thriving. And what they've been trying to do is to ensure that the most vulnerable families are better able to withstand the hard times, any potential future famine.
Abebe Aragao remembers the valley as a dust bowl in 1984. Now he tends a flourishing orchard with bananas, avocados and oranges. We've learnt a great lesson, he tells me. You see, farmers working very hard, they have small wells and pumps, and I don't expect that the area will ever see famine again. Nor does Tesfatsion Dalalu, after many years of aid work here and in other countries.
I'd rather say I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that we'll never see that kind of famine in Ethiopia again. I am confident that we can manage it if it comes, because there is more infrastructure now available and more communication doors are open and people know what to do and when to do.
For the most hard-pressed, today's Ethiopian government has a safety net of food or cash, this year supporting some 10 million people, roughly one in nine Ethiopians. Rapid population growth, severe environmental pressure remain major challenges here. And Ethiopia will not be spared further droughts. What everyone hopes has been demonstrated by now is that they do not have to turn into famines.